Long time no see.
Snake, today's briefing is of the utmost importance.
What is it, Colonel?
I'll be telling you all about the Ford Focus SE.
You got me. You got me.
Got me too.
I didn't see it coming.
That was good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. This is Play Retro. Yeah, we play a lot of retro games here. That may have been obvious by the name. I don't know. But I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts. And I don't just sneak around in a cardboard box. I live in one all day long.
Oh, I can smell it, too.
Oh, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And my mom just dropped me off to do this podcast. And all I have is this pack of cigarettes, an attitude, and a suit made for sneaking. Time to save the world. But first, hey, bro, you got a light? Because I think I'm going to go hide under that stinky cardboard box you had and hit it.
Snake!
Over.
Snake.
Oh, Snake!
Man. It might be obvious, but we're going to be talking about Solid Snake. We're going to be talking about Metal Gear, the NES years, and beyond. PlayStation 1's Metal Gear Solid kind of ending things out, and a few other things on the side. Some pretty wild business happened behind the scenes of a game you all just think happened. You just think it came out, and then it was just there. But there was more to it. Europe got it first, and we're going to talk about why and on what hardware.
Europe got it before we did. We didn't get nothing.
We got nothing. So anyway, all that's coming up soon. Stick around for more about Metal Gear. Before we do that, though, a couple of quick things. A listener, Brian, who is on his way to Tennessee or Kentucky, can't remember which. Anyway, got a new job. He's leaving California. Been to all the Nerdtaculars. This guy's like a regular. He's awesome. He listens to this show. Really like him. We had to make a little bit of a package exchange while he drove through Salt Lake City.
Oh, here's you some mushrooms.
Uh-huh. There's that. No, it's not that. Instead, he brought by a working Sega Saturn.
What?
With the controller, some games, a action replay on the back of the thing, which lets you do all kinds of skeevy business.
How is this fair? I had to buy mine.
Uh-huh. Sure. But all the other stuff you get for free. In fact, I think he even said to me, I felt bad because Brian gets all the cool stuff. So this is for you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It is pretty nice. Anyway, so he sent me that. I loved my Saturn back in the day. I'm very happy to have one back. And we'll be doing some cool stuff with that. Also, a working Genesis, a couple of controllers there. And just the nicest dude. It was really sweet of him to do that.
That's nice,
Brian. Thanks, man. And I hope your new job's awesome. I bet it will be.
I think that action replay, I think, allows you to play region-free games. I think you can load up some stuff, sideload and stuff. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard. That's what I've been told. If you want to play all the games.
I think you're right. And also, doesn't the slot in the back double as a Genesis player? It plays Genesis?
So that was a big disappointment to a lot of people who purchased the Sega Saturn, because the cart shape and size is very similar to a Genesis cart, but no, that is for memory expansion only, which some people made use of, like what you have in there.
See, I think I do remember that, because at the time I remember being stoked. I'm like, look, there's a Genesis cartridge back there.
We all did. We was like, backwards compatibility?
Yeah.
What?
That wasn't it. That wasn't it.
Going to break out my old Genesis games and we're going to have a party.
Genesis?
Nope.
Anyway, very happy about that. Thank you so much for that, and best of luck to you as you move through the rest of the country. Brian, tell me about what you've been up to. What'd you do this week?
Okay, so retro related. So this past week, a couple things while I get this ready. Jeff Rose on Mastodon. By the way, I'm on Mastodon. I like it over there. It's one of those social media sites. But I get a lot of feedback over there about what we do here on Play Retro Show. A lot of retro streamers.
Yeah,
there's a new Steam Deck, sorta. There's if you go to deckhd.com. There's an upgrade path for a better screen and kind of stuff. This is still in pre-order currently. I'm not sure exactly how they're managing this or doing it or what all the details are, but there's like I said, deckhd.com. Not saying I support them. I'm just saying the stuff looks neat. Experience unseen details, unleash vibrant colors. And see, we talked about this. I have the middle of the road Steam Deck, so I didn't get that highest one like you did. So I'm like, do I just get a screen? Do I send the one I currently have? Do they just send me a whole new deck? I don't know, but there's some specs and some comparisons. I can join the wait list, essentially. And
it ups the resolution. I don't know if that'll help with games that are you know, best performed at 1280 by 800.
Estimated price $99. So I'm assuming that means it's either a kit or something you send off. I'm assuming it's a screen upgrade kit of some sort. But I joined the wait list on that Deck HD, and we're going to kind of monitor and see what's going on because I find it interesting.
You know what's weird about it, though? Let me read you these specs, okay?
Is it the 400 nits?
No, it's not that.
They're going to nitpick on the nits?
Deck HD, estimated $99, right? Original Steam Deck, you've already got the screen. It claims a 1920 by 1200 resolution bump. This is currently, the current deck is 1280 by 800.
Correct.
Seven inch IPS display. This is also a 7-inch IPS display.
Right.
The big difference is 95% RG or sRGB coverage. This has only got 67%. Mm-hmm. The nits are the same, 400. That's the brightness. 60 hertz refresh rate, same. And anti-glare coating, same if you got the highest end model.
Right, if you got the highest level. Right.
Right. So what I'm saying is it's funny they're using these as specs when really like three of the four of the only, five yeah, are only, all the same.
Yeah, I guess they're saying the screen as good as the original plus enhancements, I suppose.
Yeah. I think this is fine. Like, this is a thing some people will do.
Like I said, $99, screen improvement since I got the middle of the road one. It might be worth it for me. I just don't know if it'd be worth it for somebody on the highest tier already.
If they said, you know, this is an OLED screen, I'd get stoked. But
yeah,
since this is not, I don't care.
It's still IPS according to what it says. So we'll keep an eye on it. So once again, that's Deck HD. In the meantime.
Yeah.
I picked up this. This is the Anbernic 35XX, I believe. It is a form factor that is kind of closer to the Miu Mini, if you're familiar with that one. It's kind of shaped like a Game Boy, but
like
not.
Like a wide Game Boy.
Yeah, like a Game Boy Fatty is what it is, right?
Yep.
So we both had Anbernics. We got the RG30 something. Anyway, we had one that before we got our Steam Decks.
Right.
And so I was interested in this format, and I will tell you, I like what I'm seeing so far. I picked it up. You can pick it up straight off Anbernic's website.
I hear the screen's really good. The screen's $55. I'm sorry, $55.
But wait,
shut your butthole. I'm getting this. All right, go ahead.
Wait, there's more. There's $20 shipping. So.
Well, wait, where it's still pretty good. What's the model? Bad. What's the model again?
This is the RG35XX, and I mean this screen looks good. It's a good size. It fits well in my hand. I was a little concerned about how the buttons on the back would chonk, but I'm fairly satisfied with them. But I watched some videos where people were like, you know, kind of like going, we need to replace the back buttons because they're kind of flat. And I'm like, I kind of like the chunk of the feel of it.
Let me ask you this, because one of the problems I have with Anbernic is that their ship with software and setup is garbage usually.
Yeah, so you definitely going to, for the first thing you're going to do, this is the same for any Anbernic product you get. It always ships.
Why
like
can't
ship, like
they figure that out over there for real?
I don't know, but the hardware is exceptional. It does the things that I wanted to do. It charges by USB-C, has no Bluetooth connectivity. Okay. So you got to deal with that. Don't think you'd be using a little third Bluetooth controller, especially to tell you what it does at the top. It's got the mini HDMI to regular HDMI out the top. You can plug that into your TV and then you just use this controller to play it. Or you could plug in a USB-C adapter back here and plug in your, something like your Switch Pro controller or something and play it like that. But this fit my needs because I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to play some Game Boy type setup, but then be able to capture it. And this is exactly what this does. The Miu Mini does not do that. Same price, maybe it's a little bit more. But I'm pretty satisfied with it. I will probably just do the YouTube video. There's every time one of these comes out, somebody's got a YouTube video with better OS and step-by-step instructions.
Always.
And it's usually super easy.
Always,
yeah. You just buy another micro SD card because it has two SD slots. And you buy one and you freaking format it and you go to town and you just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about this little Anbernic 35XX. Something I can keep by the nightstand because I won't lie. Sometimes trying to play the Steam Deck in bed, I've almost hit myself in the face a couple times.
Well, I really like this tiny little form factor. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, I like the tiny form factor. Is small enough. I can, you know, just, I can just get my hands here. And, you know, if I start getting tired, I can just kind of like just put it down. Whereas so Steam Deck, sometimes I kind of go. Oh.
So the Amazon version is showing $74. It is.
So that's the trick. So the trick is if you get it on Amazon, you'll probably have Prime free shipping. Whereas if you order it through AmberNick, you'll be paying the $20 shipping.
So you pay the $20. What either way, you're paying the $20.
It's the same. It's the same price.
Okay.
It's the same price.
Okay. I want.
And I just ordered mine from Amazon this time because I wanted to get here in time for this. It only takes a couple of days directly from AmberNick because they got U.S. Warehouses and stuff.
Is that the gray one you got?
Mm-hmm.
You tempted they
have bastard. They had the translucent purple like you would have got on your Game Boy Colors, which mm-hmm. was really popular, and then they got a clear one, which looked pretty cool. But I just liked how these look with the, you know, that was that what color is that red kind of really is it kind of garnet kind of color,
yeah.
You know, almost a purplish red with black buttons. The buttons are very nice. I had seen where some people were saying I think they had concave and convex buttons, but all my buttons are convex.
Wish there was an easier way to sync saves across all these devices, you know?
Didn't I read something about that at one point in time? I definitely know you can keep your, a lot of these will run, this will use, what's the newest one everybody's using? The Baratemp. What is it called?
I don't know.
The new retro thing that everybody is trying to get me to do. Barracuda.
Oh, the Barracuda. Yeah.
We'll call it the one. It's like barometer, but it's something else. Retro software. Somebody in the chat room is definitely going to get it before I do.
I'm getting this thing right now because you're an evil friend who gets me to buy things I shouldn't get.
Right.
I got everything I need on my Steam Deck, but I love the idea of especially my GBA games, having those on the fly like this.
It's so good for the GBA games. It's got a D-pad. It does play up. It plays PlayStation 1 games very, anything in the, you know, the 8-bit, 16-bit, and a little bit into the 32-bit, it plays all of those.
Is it fantastic. Still running in RetroArch, though, and all that, or no?
No, this one's running the Garlic OS, but everybody says to upgrade to the other thing. Like so, I said, I got a video. I'll probably do a bonus episode for the patrons and just kind of run it down real quick what I did with it.
Because I'm terribly tempted here. This looks like they've learned some lessons about where certain buttons are on the device. Yeah. They're not so weird about certain things.
Bodicera, that's it. Bodicera, I never can say it. That's that new, I think that's what it is. Bodicera Linux.
Does it come with some games? I assume it does. They always try to.
Oh, yeah. You can't really get one of these AmberNick devices without them, you know, shipping out a drive with a bunch of games.
It's got a 64-bit card in there. It's not, or 64 gigabyte, rather. Not bad.
Yeah, it does have a 64 gigabyte. It has two slots.
Damn you. Okay. This claims, by the way, that this will perfectly run PS1 games. I don't know why I doubt that. Does it? Does it do okay?
It did. It did very well. I actually was going to try, Metal Gear Solid on this thing, but I didn't get a chance to because there was some complaints back in the day about, that was probably like one of the few complaints that people had about that one. That there was some jitteriness, but I don't know. But I played a lot of other games and they played great.
For the last week and a half, I've been like, I don't want to spend $70 on the new Zelda game.
You bump that. What do I look like? I'm made out of money.
Yeah. But then over here, I'm like, but I will spend $74.99 on an AmberNick.
Well, it seems
device.
Almost like vaporware when you talk about it. I mean, so much good experiences with the Zelda, but when you get through, you're kind of through. Where this, you can leave it on your, you know, on your side table, and you can stick it in your pocket, and you can just play it. Like I said, I love my Steam Deck. Would not give it up. But man, this thing is just so small, easy, right there. Pick it up, right into Retroland.
I think I'm gonna get it. You bastard.
Got some Dino Crisis, Tarzan. Totally. That's how I did it. I was like, I went on Amazon, and I was like, this is yesterday. And I was just looking at it. I was like, I want to get one of those Miu Minis. And I was just doing some research. And all of a sudden, I was like, it could be here tomorrow? Shit.
I know. That's the other thing, right? It's those conveniences of like, yeah, and this it'll be in your mailbox tomorrow.
But wait, there's more. It comes with a screen protector in this nice little case. And that's how they shipped mine. It was in the case and everything. I didn't have to take it out of a box or nothing. It was just wrapped up nicely in this case. And I just unzipped it and took it with me. It was the quickest, fastest thing I've ever done.
I think I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Here goes. Add to cart.
You're doing it. What you getting? Which one are you getting? The purple one?
I'm getting the... No, I don't want no purple. I want that. You got the gray, right? It's just gray?
Yeah, I got the gray. The gray is
like
the way
to go. That's what I want. So I'm going to hit no extra protection. Don't need that BS.
Don't need that crap.
Okay. It's adding to this. Proceed to checkout. It's happening. Someone try to stop me. I'm about to click
help,
it.
Help, help.
I'm proceeding. I'm choosing payment method. Let's see. I got probably some credit on something.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, not there. Okay, that one has nothing. That's $0. All right, I'll just use my PayPal card thing.
So light.
Okay. Oh, it needs my reference number. No, it does not. Okay, so we're good there. Business debt. Okay, use this. I can't believe I'm doing this. Okay, there it is. Overnight, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. I'll have it before 11 a.m. latest tomorrow.
Yeah. Mine showed up really quick. Like I said, so this is another part of playing retro and being a retro enthusiast. Sometimes... you just got to have it right now.
All right, I'm doing it.
It's just that we're right now we're dealing with the addiction of playing retro.
You bastard! I did it. It's on its way. You're gonna help.
The same thing.
No, I know, but you're gonna. I may poke right. you for in case I run into any issues because I have a notoriously crappy attention span, and when I try to watch one of these videos, they're like, "Today I'm going to show you how we here in Russia take a video game and make it hacky and do the shit." And I always get lost.
This guy had great English. I guess he was American, and it took him 15 minutes. He didn't mess around in this video. He just said, "Take this. The link's in the description. Do this." He was one of those guys, like, you know, at the top of it, they go, "Let's get right into it."
Yep. I'm going to have to start selling my body for video game stuff.
Pretty much.
That's how it's going to go.
You don't already do that? How do you?
Just need more patrons, man. We get more of those, I'm good.
Right.
All right. Well, there's that. Let's move on, shall we? And thanks for making me buy a thing. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm actually excited. And
if you're in the chat, let us know if you bought one too.
Yeah. So I like the idea of the little thing. Looks like the battery's also replaceable in case you have any trouble with that. So that's cool.
And everything's really easy to open up. I saw them break one down. There's actually even a tape mod if you don't like how the D-pad functions.
Yeah,
they function fine for me. There's like a you can pop it open. It's got like six screws in the back. You can put some black electrical tape in a couple of strategic places, and it's supposed to make it even more responsive.
Did I see there's a mini HDMI port on there? Or no?
It is. It's a mini HDMI at the top.
That's pretty great because then you can plug that into the TV.
HDMI.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you could have multiplayer stuff going on with other controllers. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No Bluetooth though, right? It's got to be.
No Bluetooth. And I was kind of first like, what? No Bluetooth. I was like, you know, it's fine because it'd just eat my battery up anyway.
That's true. That's what Bluetooth's good at.
But no Bluetooth headphones, so you got to wire up. But the sound one is pretty good. The speaker?
It's not bad, eh? Just
the built-in speaker is pretty good.
The widescreen Evernick is pretty good too. It has great sound.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And their screens are real nice. So I'm not worried about that. All right. Well, it's coming. I'll report on it next week. Brian will, of course, have a little longer. Help, help. It's happening. It's time for us to do our main topic.
Shall we play a game?
We sure shall. Let's talk about some of this. Oh, what?
Oh, you got the sound. I love the sound.
I love the sound. It is so, to me, such a unique thing in the world of games. We're going to talk about the series of techno thriller stealth games created by Hideo Kojima. These were developed and published originally by Konami. Well, still are. It's all Konami. Yeah. The first game, just called simply Metal Gear, was released in 1987 for the MSX home computer system. We will talk about that a little more because there's stuff to say. Yeah. And you take the control of Special Forces operative, usually Solid Snake or Big Boss. Sometimes it's other snakes later on. Those are the more modern
ones. Got some liquid snake. Yeah. I don't remember any gaseous snake, though.
Nope, no gas snake, as far as I know. The latest game was, what was he called? They're clones, basically.
Oh, yeah. We're doing this on the day that Sony did their PlayStation showcase thing.
Yeah,
and there's an announcement of a remake and some releases of the classic stuff this autumn.
Yeah, remake of three, which was Snake Eater. Mm-hmm. They're calling it Delta, but it uses the triangle sort of Delta symbol. So yeah. we're assuming it's Delta. They didn't really say.
We only got pre-rendered footage. A Hideo Kojima classic move.
Oh, I thought that stuff was in game. The stuff that's
on the screen. Very top of the thing. It said it was pre-rendered footage.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well that bumps me out a little. I don't think they need to do. Maybe they're not very far along in it, but.
Yeah.
A proper remake of that game would be great. I never did get to play 3 in the PS2 days, so I'm into this. I want to play it. But anyway, so we thought, hey, we knew this was coming, this announcement, possibly. Mm-hmm. We could have been disappointed, but we thought this would be fun to talk about. So I'm going to play some audio from the OGMG, the original Metal Gear.
And is this the MSX or the NES?
This is the NES version, although... it's entirely possible. The video I looked for both, they kind of looked identical. So I realize there's differences, this looked a lot like that.
Prepare yourselves, dear listener, because all of us grew up in America on the NES version.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, I played the MSX2 version, which was released. It was kind of spread in Europe and really spread wide in Japan. I said spread wide. This looks like the NES version you were just pulling up.
Yeah, this is, I think, NES for sure. But here it is. Let's play some sound. Very intense stuff going on here. Oh, there's that telltale ring sound, kind of like this one.
Yeah.
That's the more modern one.
Time to get on the radio.
Yep.
Talk to somebody.
Talk to the colonel.
Over.
Get some shit going. You know what I realized? I never even thought about this till now. I guarantee I'm late to the game on this. But I played a lot of Metal Gear in my time, and it only just occurred to me that colonel guy you're always talking to, it's basically the Rambo colonel. It's the same idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the whole idea. I mean, all these games were inspired. Snake is named after Snake Plissken. Mm-hmm. The cover art for this game is Kyle Reese. Hideo. I say Hideo. I know some people say
Hideo. Is Hideo is what I always
hear. Hideo or something like that. I always just say Kojima because I usually get that one right.
Kojima is how you say it.
Kojima.
That's right. I have located binoculars, says this video. So this video is like, you'll look at this, and if you've never played the old classic stuff, you're like, really? This is what Metal Gear started as? Oh my gosh. But it's, humble roots. Some of the stealth stuff is there. And at the time, that was like new,
you know,
stealth concepts and 8-bit games, kind of unusual.
Mm-hmm. And we weren't really doing the immersion of the stealthing game at this point. Mm-hmm. And Kojima, who joined Konami not too long before all this hit, this is 87. This 87 would have been the MSX2. We didn't get it until 88 on the NES. And that was a port that had nothing to do with Kojima, other than they basically made the game over, but in his opinion, very poorly.
Yeah.
He did not like it.
But if you've never seen an MSX or an MSX2, I'm putting it up now for the chat to see. This was a computer console. Think of like Atari 800 or Commodore or whatever.
It was an attempt at standardization. This is stuff I learned this past week. It was an attempt at standardization with Microsoft to... Allow third parties like Sony to have a computer that they could sell and market.
Yep. Based and it on had a keyboard kind of built standard. Into it. It had cartridge a slot up there. In the upper corner. This was a thing for a while. I kind of miss these days. I think this was cool as
that's
hell.
A good looking. That Panasonic you got on screen. Look, what does it say? Goonies? That is a good looking.
Yeah, they look good, right? They actually look good. Sony made a model. That was the whole idea. That, like you said, it was like PCs. They were trying to say everybody can make an MSX.
Popular in device. Japan, had a little foothold in Europe, not nearly as much as other computers at the time, like Commodore. You know, those kind of companies were killing it here in the U.S. and in Europe. But
It's pretty amazing. Now, the original story is not a ton to it.
Mm-mm.
It's mostly just infiltrate a thing, get a thing, get the F out of the thing. And it's not like all the weird stuff we think of as Kojima's take on Solid Snake's weird personality or the strange world, the sort of like mix of real, modern warfare, espionage, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then combine that with just some strange ass freaking anime weirdo flying, you know, giant flaming whales in the sky and junk like that. That was all going to come later.
That's later on. I learned so I watched a great documentary. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it or not, but there's a great documentary on YouTube that covers the Metal Gear whole thing. And I just watched up to Solids. Yeah, to the PS1 Solid, because that's where we decide we're gonna cut this off at.
Yeah.
And I learned just crazy amount of information from that. And then I also watched Did You Know Gaming, this just specifically on Kojima, and man, he is a tortured soul. Grew up with his family. They would have movie nights, and they would just stay up and watch movies, and he wasn't allowed to go to bed until the movie was complete, and they were always having discussions about movies. And then his father passed away when he was 13.
Jeez.
And so he's always had this loneliness in him, and he uses all of this like his escapism. And it is just so typical art maker. And tortured man, souls. He dives so deep. He dives. You ought to see every time he does a game. If you've ever got a chance to look at all the documentation that he does, all the prelim stuff he does, he's crazy. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep.
In a good way, though. Crazy in a good way.
Yeah, that's important. Here's how the story goes in the first game. There's just a taste of it. Near the end of the 20th century, the West discovers that a weapon of mass destruction is being constructed outside of Outer Heaven, or inside Ooh. Outer Heaven, a fortified state founded by a legendary mercenary 200 kilometers north of Galsburg, South Africa.
No, not Galsburg.
Not Galsburg.
The Gaul.
Special Forces Unit Foxhound sends top agent Gray Fox to infiltrate the fortress, assess the situation, and neutralize the threat. They lose contact with Gray Fox a few days later, with his last transmission being Metal Gear, ..
Metal Gear, by the way, if you played the NES version, you may be a little confused exactly what is Metal Gear in the first one. I never made it to the end of the NES version. But I did find out once I played some of the great MSX2 stuff, and I watched some end scenes. Spoiler, here it comes. Metal Gear is, it's a mech.
It's a big mech. It's
nuclear capabilities. But if you played the one on the NES, you just went up against a supercomputer.
Wow.
It wasn't, because they didn't have the resources for it. There was a Konami team that was tasked with making a port of this game. And they did as good as they could, and it was hugely popular in the West. We loved this game, but it was pale in comparison to the depth of what Kojima was doing on the MSX2.
Yeah, so, and he was not happy about this, by the way.
He was not. He bought it years later from a bargain bin, a la Brian, like how I do, and we had, this is crap. Yeah. And it's like, I hate it. I hate all of it. I hate it.
You know what else I like? Some of the English localization on the version of the NES is awesome. Check out this grammar. Quote, contact missing, our gray fox, unquote. Or, uh-oh, the truck have started to move. Or, I feel asleep.
Right. So Metal Gear is all about stealth. It's a stealth game first and foremost. He got inspiration from The Great Escape and other movies such as that, where you basically start out with nothing except for a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And so it allows you an opportunity to really get immersed into the world of Metal Gear. And they managed to do that in the NES version as well.
Yeah.
This is classic legend, and I did not play nearly enough of this in the day. And man, I played the crap out of it on my emulation this week.
You know what I can't figure out is how Kojima is almost 60 and he looks 12.
He really does. He's eternally young. And you may have played this, if you got there's a couple of collections along the way. They released, these games, that was on the MSX2. They released this one and the second one. So you could have played it since then. Yeah. Look at him. Yeah. Is that a recent picture?
That's a recent photo. Lord. That's last year. That's just the last Game Awards thing.
He's a vampire.
It's disgusting. Telling you. Yeah, no, I don't get it. How is he 60?
Count Kojima is more like it.
Good Lord, man. Anyway, one's all right. There's a Game Boy game, right? We're not going to really talk about it.
There's also a Game Boy game later, not canon, made for kids.
Right. A lot of people really like that one. They think that's a really good game.
It is. It still uses some of the same ideas, and it's a revisit back to this first one. You're kind of back in Outer Heaven?
Outer Heaven, yeah.
Yeah, and you're back there again, but this time the game mechanics are a little bit different. There's still a lot of stealth and stuff. There's not as much murder and mayhem.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. It was certainly a challenge because they made this after they made, which we're going to talk about very shortly, Solid Snake for the PS1. So they went to 3D world, and then they got had success there, and they wanted Konami wanted them to go back and do a Game Boy Color version. So they did. So they got to do some 2D sprites again.
Yep, which is pretty fun. Yep. And they used what's cool is they use the communication looking stuff from the PS1 game.
Yes.
And the character design, even this pixelated version of Snake here, it's very much like the modern take.
Yeah. There's a definite cutoff period. Like the first two that were released, including the NES games, they had one style, and then he had an artist, Kojima had an artist kind of define the style going forward with Solid Snake, including this Game Boy.
Was it his own personal like artist, somebody who walked around with him all the time?
I apparently didn't paste it in here. I thought I pasted in our show notes, but the artist had recently started working there when they started on the PS1, and he wanted a coherent look. Kojima is all about creating a world that you can live in and be fully immersed, and he does it from the ground up. He does it from the gameplay to the, you know, the voice acting, the sounds, the visuals. He wants to make a movie and tell a story, and he does a fantastic job at it.
He's a legend for a reason. He's a big deal.
A legend for a reason. Absolutely.
Here is what things sounded like when 2 rolled around. All right, so as you can hear, we got another stellar soundtrack. Actually, this has a lot more music than the first game did.
Yeah.
First game was like kind of devoid of it, which I thought was a little bit strange, but
in comparison,
it's an improvement overall. Especially the I'm looking at the NES version here. It's a better version. It's a better game than that first game on that.
Oh, are you playing console. The? Are you playing? Okay, so there's Metal Gear. There's Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake for the MSX2, and then there's Snake's Revenge, which is supposed to is not the same game, but they're both sequels to the first,
right? Which is weird platforms. Right, like Metal Gear 2 Gear 2 on the MSX2,
right?
Which already makes it kind of weird. But it let's see if I can find that video.
So the story goes like this. Metal Gear on the NES actually did well enough in the West that they commissioned a sequel, and they didn't tell Kojima. Yeah. And so the team that worked on the original worked on this, and now you're looking at, I believe you're looking at
this is the MSX2 version.
Yeah, that's the MSX2 version. Really totally different games. This one's not, the one that's on the NES is not considered canon. Once Kojima got back in, he's like, nope, burn it.
Yeah, burn it to the ground. He was not into it.
To the ground.
I guess the hardware just never lived up to whatever standard he had, you know.
Right. And you know, he just didn't care for. But they did as good as they could. We kind of talked about this on Twisted Metal. It's like you're going to get a different development team, kind of working on the same ideas and, you know, some of the same game mechanics. And, you know, they have a different game engine and they have different, you know, hurdles they have to overcome.
Right.
And, you know, they made a good stealthy game as best they could for the NES.
Yeah.
It was based off their first version.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think he's probably just too close to the project to feel good about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was never going to be stoked.
He is an absolute, and he's admitted this many times. I mean, he may not use these words, but he's admitted in many interviews he's kind of a control freak, and he's kind of hard to work with.
Yeah.
But so are a lot of really dedicated artists, you know? He has a really strong vision. And so you just kind of have to bend to his will.
Now, let's hear. Let me see if I can find this. Where is it? I have this somewhere. Hold on. Is this it? Nope. I was gonna play some dark music, and I can't find it, so I won't. Here's what I will do, though, because I wanted to give you this another story for 2. So here's 2,
right?
And its story. By 1999, the Cold War had thawed. And it seemed nuclear proliferation would soon be a thing of the past. Despite this, all was not well in the world.
Did he see Superman 3?
It's what it sounds like, right? A series of shocks to the oil market spurred the development of new high-tech energy sources, including fusion power. However, most vehicles still relied on oil. That's a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
including Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
Yes, a vehicle that delivers a nuclear payload, right?
Yep.
We got espionage. We got all kinds of great things in this story. Yep. He just pulls from so many great movies. And
it's so weird, like such a weird take on certain things. But I'm 100% here for it. It's one of my favorite things about his games is how
he really gives you one of the things that I discovered, even in these early games, you could still feel it. The immersion that is ownership of levels.
Yep.
And I'll try to explain this if I can. So when you're playing just a run and gun, like Commando was kind of like
Commando, that's a good one.
Yeah. A lot of these games were kind of like going, oh, we want to make a Commando. And Hideo was like, okay, well, I'll make one, but we don't have the resources for that. So we're going to go with story and we're going to go stealth. And one of the things that happens there just organically is you become invested in the maps. So you do a lot of backtracking in both of these games, kind of like Metroid inspired. And so instead of just rushing through an area and not really having any love for the area, you end up like Real War. You push forward. You have to fall back sometimes, and then you push forward again, and you take ownership of, all the ground that you cover, and you kind of become, become immersed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that has happened. I don't know if he knew that, or if it was just something that was a product.
Well, he of it. Maybe a combo, could be both.
Right.
Sure. Why
could
not?
Could be both. Why not both?
Now, most of us didn't get to experience Kojima's vision until this happened.
The nuclear weapons disposal facility on Shadow Moses Island in Alaska's Fox Archipelago was attacked and captured by Next Generation Special Forces, being led by members of Foxhound. They're demanding that the government turn over the remains of Big Boss, and they say that if their demands are not met within 24 hours, they'll launch a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. It's a bump up.
a little bit. Uh-huh. I mean, we're going from 1990, then we're going 8 years later, both in story time, I think, as well as real time. We're on our PlayStation. We're in 3D. This is where Kojima falls in love with the console that he will, make his name.
PlayStation. He absolutely will. PlayStation will be his home for a bit, and it's a chance for him to be really cinematic with his games. This is where the weird story shit starts. It's where this idiot I'm looking at right now is Revolver Ocelot, one of my favorite characters of all video game time.
So many great bad characters in this game.
They're amazing.
Just nailed it.
Yeah, he never got old for me. I love Revolver. Right. We used to call him Six Shooter Yozumite because we couldn't remember
his name. That.
Yeah.
I remember you used to. He's just so fantastic. They're all over the top, and it just drives you.
Yep.
It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm dealing with this.
And I still say, of all the games that ever came out for this console, I still think this is the most impressive looking game to this day.
It really is from
the era, because it's just so... I don't even know what the word is. It's polished as hell.
Yeah.
The cutscenes, I look at them now, they're pretty ugly, but the cutscenes for the time, nobody was doing anything like this. It was just unbelievably cool. And I love
that. I even love when you get on the transceiver and you're talking back and forth. I mean, if you actually just are in the transceiver screen, it's got a name other than that too, but I'm just calling back because you had to go to the... When you had to go to the menu system, you had to go to the transceiver or a transmitter. Anyway, when you go to those scenes and they're just, some talking heads and some text and stuff, I would be hard pressed to tell you this was a PlayStation game because the way it looks so freaking good. Now, of course, when you get into this overhead, sometimes 3/4 view, then it gets a little bit different.
And this game is so good about... It gets a little muddy, but still look at, even then, though. This is a lot of stuff going on for a jittery old PlayStation wobbly polygon machine,
I mean, and we're just now starting to really start thinking about cameras, and Kojima's, 5 steps ahead. He's he's like, you know, they kind of wanted, you know, some of these games were like going first person shooter. And he's like, no, I still want the top down sneaking thing. And I just don't feel like I had the same effect. But he did go, okay, well, if you walk up against a wall, you'll back up and the camera will change. Yeah. And there's certain times when you're looking first person. And it's just this nice mix of different camera angles. It's always exciting. You always feel on edge. They're going to hear that noise any second now.
Yep.
And you've been found out. The bad guys become actually smart in the first two. The first game, that I don't even think on the NES version, you wouldn't even get a global alert. You would just get like a local alert, so you could like run from to a different screen,
right?
And everybody stopped chasing you.
Yeah,
MSX, I think they would follow you with a global alert if you did enough stuff. But here, you got these cones of sight that you can see with the enemy. You can see where they can see, kind of, and you're like, you can be more methodical about it. That guy just bounced around.
Yeah, he's scared. He's supposed to be scared, so it's supposed to be shaking, but it's just really hard
but
to watch.
But that was the thing. With the way the jitter works in the PlayStation, you can't have a tremor.
No.
because
you're tremor. Already, everything's got a tremor in that machine.
Yeah. When you go to tremor level, it goes into quake level. It looks like he's going.
Yeah, it's real weird. But it's still to this day one of the most cinematic games I ever played. And yeah. It was weird though too, because all these dumb names of things. Like, think how dumb these names are. Solid Snake, freaking Big Boss. That's so dumb.
Yes,
Big Boss.
Oh, they go, and they want Big Boss's body back. Why? Yeah. What are you gonna do with it?
Yeah, what are you gonna do with Big Boss's body? Anyway, Revolver Ocelot. Oh, I wonder if he has a gun. He shoots a lot. Like,
yeah, I wonder.
I don't want it any other way. I want all that cheese and more.
Right.
In a game like this, right?
Did you ever play? Did you ever do the PC version? I never got to play the PC version. I only had the PlayStation 1.
Of this, I did play the PS2 remastery version.
God, I was trying to track down all the different versions of this game and how they've re-released it. And oh my God, trying to play it is just getting into the Metal Gear series. If you've never played it before, is one of those games and series where you go, should I play this chronologically? And you go, oh my God, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me think about that for a minute. Or should you play it, you know, how it was released.
Right.
And there's just so many remakes. And some of the stuff is like reuses the same story. So you may be getting the same story and have a different name. It doesn't even say like, this is a remake.
Right.
So it gets real confusing. But I got some links to help out with that. Actually, I'll share those later.
Right now I'm showing the PS2 version of Metal Gear Solid 1. And it was a big visual upgrade for sure.
Yeah.
It almost felt like he was like, yeah, now I finally have hardware I want to dev for.
Yep.
Like, this is what I envisioned. And it would kind of be the style of the series from then forward. Like, you know,
yeah.
Once
we got to this point, it's pretty well established. And this is kind of why we talk about retro gaming versus modern gaming. This is kind of peeking into modern gaming.
Yeah, this is just lower tech, but still modern sensibilities and stuff. I would still, if you're going to play a version and you're not that worried about, you know, playing the original, I think the PS2 version of the game is extremely good. It's a very good game.
I like the two disc pack that comes with the VR expansion intruder, whatever thing that is, with all the different, the VR stuff that I've been trying to pick up. I used to have a copy of that. The prices have gotten outrageous because of the announcement. You can pick up, it's a two disc set and it has that and the VR stuff.
Right.
And, it is around $100 right now.
Jeez Louise.
When the pandemic, it typically floats around $30. But then when the pandemic first started, it cranked up to about 100 and then it dropped back down. And then recently with the new announcements and stuff, it's kind of been creeping back up again. So yeah. I guess I'll have to wait for another cycle. But the PC version I was going to talk about, because I never made it to Psycho Mantis.
that name. And so dumb.
That one hits a little bit different on the PC version from what I understand, because on the PlayStation version, more part of that immersion, Psycho Mantis checks in on your memory saves.
Oh,
yeah. So really? She gets to look at your memory saves. I don't know exactly what happens there, But I find that kind of creepy that you're playing a game, and this game, this series does like to break that fourth wall. And that's one of the times they really broke it hard. It's like, what do you mean? Wait a minute. What do you mean you're going to look at my freaking memory card? Well, you don't know what's on there. You don't need to look at my memory card. Don't worry about what's on my memory card.
You know what? I just realized, was she a lady? I always thought it was a dude. Psychomantis.
You're forgiven because it was PS1 era graphics, and you were pumping that thing out probably on your nice big 19-inch CRTV.
Yeah.
So you're forgiven. And she's got a lot of stuff on, so it's fine.
It doesn't matter at all. She can be whoever she wants. So it's just weird.
Right.
Real quick, some chronology of this, of the stories. I didn't realize this.
There's it male or I don't know. I don't know whether it's the gender of
maybe it's not a gender character at all. It could be psychomantis, right? Is just whatever psychomantis is.
Yes, it's a mantis. Yeah, we don't understand. Can you gender a mantis? I don't even know. Can you even do that? I don't know.
Think so. Here's your fictional chronology of Metal Gear. 1964, Snake Eater. Okay, these aren't when the games came out, obviously. These are when they're set. So Snake Eater, a.k.a. 3, was in 1964. 1970 was Portable Ops. That was a PSP game.
Yes.
Good game. 1974, Peace Walker. 1975, Ground Zeroes. Stupidest name. It's so dumb. It looks like a typo. It's a dumb name. Right. I hate it. Metal Gear from 1995. 99 was Solid Snake. 2005 was Metal Gear Solid and the Twin Snakes. 2007 and, through 09 was Sons of Liberty.
Right.
2014, Guns of the Patriots, and 2018, Metal Gear Rising, which was Revengeance, which is that weird side shooter spinoff Raiden thing where he just chops people up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a cool game, by the way.
If you had a guess when Hideo was kind of thinking, what does Snake, not Plissken, look like?
Right.
He had two models in mind at the time.
Yeah.
One's an action star, one's more of a classical actor. Do you have an idea of what blendings he went with?
No.
When describing he wanted?
Let me guess. Snake Plissken.
Right, that's kind of like the story, right? That's kind of where he went.
Okay,
with story
I'll give you. Wise, yeah. Okay, let's change that. I'm going to say, because of the bandana, it reminds me of Stallone and Rambo. So Rambo,
right. I would agree with that. But he actually wanted a young Christopher Walken.
What?
I know, that's why I said what.
What the frick? What are you serious? About? Is that serious?
Yeah, he wanted Jean-Claude Van Damme to be the body, because he wanted somebody that wasn't going to be overly large. He wanted somebody who could sneak. So you got to be able to sneak really well, right?
Yeah.
And so that was the, I don't think I want to see the young Christopher Walken's hit on a Van Damme body, but whatever. You know,
he has a vision. That's just funny. I mean, Van Damme, I can see it. Everybody was trying to make movies or games that were Van Damme was kind of a guy in it. Like, what is Johnny Cage? He's Van Damme.
Yeah, he's absolutely Van Damme. And if you want to, if you play Metal Gear Solid 2 on the MSX2, you understand it has to be Van Damme when he goes prone and he crawls under like steps and stuff. It's just hilarious. I love how he crawls. This makes me laugh every
time. I'm showing this to the chat right now, and I put it in our Discord, the skinny low poly thing.
Right.
I'm trying to imagine. He doesn't even have feet. I don't know what's going on there.
Right. Well, that's what he requested. I don't think that's what he got. You know,
this is a good one. This PS2 image where he's making a face is great. Look at him. He's so freaked out.
Now, by the time we get to the PS2 version, actor David Hayter, I think that's how you say his name, a voice actor, Canadian American actor. He started influencing greatly the attitude, the mood in the character itself. So you can't not give him.
No, he's Solid Snake for me. He's my guy.
Right.
When they got Kiefer Sutherland to do it in 5, I was annoyed.
Yeah.
Just annoyed.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I don't know.
It's a different guy. See, the way you describe it away is you say, well, it's a different era and it's a different Snake. It's not, you know, this isn't Solid Snake. This isn't Big Boss. This isn't any of those guys. It's a whole other dude. So maybe his voice is a little bit different. But my biggest problem was, if you're going to hire him, have him actually say some shit, because that game had hardly any dialogue whenever he talked. Yeah. He just did a lot of grunting. It's like, we got to get those guys. It wasn't much. Maybe he's too expensive to have him say too many things. I don't know.
Yeah, no, right. I'm getting paid by the word.
Yeah. He's in all kinds of other stuff though. He's in tons of video games, animation.
Oh yeah, he's the second most interviews I saw. Of course, all the Kojima stuff was interviews that were in Japanese and subtitles. So that was interesting. David Hayter's got tons of interviews about his role as Solid Snake.
Yep.
So, I
hope they got him back for this remake of Snake Eater. That would be good.
I do too. I think they will, because he has done some things in the past. Like he would do things to kind of make it happen. It's like, even if it wasn't practical. Do you know that Konami sometimes hated Kojima? True story.
I know that, but that eventually led to the total burnout during Five's production, and he got the F out of there. He's done.
Yeah. He was restricted from seeing his team. He was restricted from award ceremonies and all kinds of stuff. It's an amazing story. And when we eventually start doing Play Retro, the game creators episodes, he'll definitely have to be in it, but he's going to be a huge episode. He's just so storied. He's got such a deep story to tell.
Yeah. Everything about him is interesting to me, and maybe a little annoying sometimes, but still interesting. other things to mention, Snake's Revenge, which you mentioned it. It's basically the original, the MSX2 version of 2. It was their take on that, but it's not the same game.
Yeah, it's not the same game. No. It's a sequel to the first NES game and has almost nothing to do with the true sequel, which is Metal Gear Solid Snake.
Yeah.
Which is the one. But basically, if you like Metal Gear Solid, it is pretty much just a retelling of Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, because we had never seen that in the US. Right. And Metal Gear Solid was mostly made for, marketing to the US market.
It was kind of his way of getting a redo or a reshot.
Yeah, it was. I like the fact that he made Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake. This is one of the stories we got to hear on the documentary. He had worked with, I believe, a programmer on the first Metal Gear for the MSX2, and that programmer happened to also be doing some work on the internal team that was doing Konami's Snake's Revenge for the NES. And he just happened to run into Hideo on the train and clued him in on what was going on. And when he found out, he made a big push. He's like, wait, they're doing Metal Gear without me? And so he made this big push to make one a sequel for MSX2. So
that kind of
prompted him. He was kind of like, I'm done with that Metal Gear crap. I'm putting all that behind me. And then Smiles is doing something. He's like, wait.
Yep. And also, by the way, back in the PS1 era, they did these commercials for Ford. Listen to I'm going to play this again just to freak you out.
Look, Colonel, long time no see.
Snake, today's briefing is of the utmost importance.
What is it, Colonel?
I'll be telling you all about the Ford Focus SE.
And he goes all in on explaining what the Ford Focus SE is and why it's important.
Why the Ford Focus out of all the Ford vehicles?
I don't know. It's so weird.
The least military vehicle I can think of.
Yeah, it has no connection to any of the game themes, for sure.
Yeah.
It was just a weird really deal.
He probably hated that crap, because, I mean, he took all this stuff very serious.
Yeah.
I mean, he would take his teams and, go mess around with military equipment, and just get hands-on. They would, role play doing stuff. He mapped out a lot of these, the screens and stuff using Legos. I mean, he immersed himself into it so that he could make an immersive game for the players. And he took this stuff serious. And so to think that somebody in marketing thought this was a good idea, I'm sure he was furious.
Konami's just always been the wrong match for him, I think. They're just weird.
Right.
The way they do stuff.
It's funny. Yeah. Because I thought the same thing too. We'll have to do a Konami episode too, because Konami at the time was the only company in the gaming industry really that was doing stuff that was on the stock market, Japanese stock market.
Right.
And so it had a little higher cachet than other places that you'd work at. And Kojima came from a wealthier family and had, social expectations that some free spirit might not have. And he was a free spirit, but was kind of stuck in that world.
Right.
And so the Konami really needed to kind of rein him in. Maybe he would have been worse if we had had some kind of somebody to butt up against, maybe. I don't know.
Sometimes yeah, then that in works. Later years, they're like, we're going to do pachinko all day and forget about our video game IPs. You know, and then the
Konami's always have been they've done some good things. Also, a really interesting side story here as well was I was like, wait, I thought Metal Gear was Konami. And I saw like Ultra come up on the thing. I was like, who was Ultra? Did they publish it or something? But, you know, it goes back to that whole thing of Nintendo restricting number of licensed games or number of games that allow a publisher to publish.
Right.
And so Konami started a second company, a fake company called Ultra.
That Nintendo move is so dirty, Paul.
The more I research it and the less I look at Nintendo as just some kind of gatekeeper or something, let's look at that and go, what were the financial reasons?
Yeah.
They really were trying to keep what happened to Atari from happening to them. Because by limiting, third-party releases, they kind of had a little bit of quality control.
Yeah, it's monopolistic, though, and it's restrictive.
Yeah, it is. It's very anti...
It's anti-competitive.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but then also, again, they're trying to protect themselves because you saw what happened to Atari. It's like they said, everybody can make a game. Make a game. Throw it on there. We don't care.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of crap.
Yeah, but Atari made a lot of other mistakes.
Atari made a lot of the mistakes, but yeah. That was definitely one of the.
They were learning mistakes for the whole rest of the industry.
They were doing the 8-bit Lord's work.
Oh hell yeah, yes. The 8-bit Lord. Well, there you go. That's your Metal Gear look. It's still a hell of a series, and I think these old games are worth returning to. The PS1 game in particular, although I would play it on the PlayStation 2 or PC if you can.
Yeah.
But they're all excellent. Cool. And watch for 3 coming to the PlayStation 5 soon. I will play. I am playing that. I will be buying that game.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Out of it.
And of course, they'll have this autumn. They're going to have the classes coming back. So if you already got the PlayStation Plus Premium, you'll probably get a chance to play it there as well. But Good Old Games sells it. Is it on Steam? I don't think so.
No,
it might be.
I don't think,
Good Old
I don't
Games
think
definitely
is.
Has a couple of copies. But it's a good game. And like I said, if I was a fan, I would probably try to get the MSX2 versions or something derivative. And the NES versions are kind of rough.
Kind of poop.
Nostalgic maybe, but
whew. Yeah, but still.
Poop. I played all these this past week and I cussed a lot at Snake's Revenge. I wanted to get some revenge on Snake for that BS.
I only played the first one this week, and I played a little bit of the PS1 game.
The PS1 game is the way to go.
I played the living shit out of it back in the day when it came out. Yeah. I played it 3 times through, twice with my friend Andrew, once on my own. Like I was into it.
It's good stuff, baby.
Yeah, great game. All right, let's move on. It's in the top 100 of all time. It should be. If it's not,
yeah. If it's in my top 100 for sure.
Yeah, let's do this now.
Destroy it.
We're going to try to guess each other's game. Yeah, that's right. Guess my game. Brian sends me a bit of audio. I send him some, and then we try to guess it on air. We can't cheat. We don't cheat. Never cheat. We're not a cheating organization.
We can't cheat. Don't know how to cheat. What is cheating even?
What even is cheating?
I'm going to type mine into the ChatGPT. Go ahead.
All right. Fair enough. This one is a game that came out in 2003 because it is... I promise you that is retro. That's a long time ago. That's
right,
20 years ago.
2003, guess what? You put it on the Game Boy Advance, so that's still retro. Those machines were still... Like we saw the Game Boy Color a while ago. That was, that was back to sprites.
20-ass years ago. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, 20-ass years ago,
that's
friends.
That's right. So here's the music and sound. See if you can guess it. That's just the Game Boy intro.
It's going to say, it's Game Boy. It's Game Boy. Did I win? Oh, shit. That sounds good.
Love this game.
Those are fireworks, right? I can't answer. No, that's a question. Not a question. That's not my. That's not my.
That's
first
not
wish.
Your first question. Yeah, you're fine.
It's not my first wish. No. Is this a Nintendo title? Like exclusive title?
It 100% is a Nintendo exclusive title. This might help you.
I'm pretty sure I heard Mario at some point. Oh, wait. It's definitely Mario something.
Did you hear
right?
that?
Yes, it's a Mario something. Is it Mario something?
It is Mario something. Well,
okay.
It's Mario is in the game, in the name.
Okay, Mario is in the game. Okay,
and the name. He's in the name and the game.
Oh, he's in the name and the game. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Any more questions?
Any questions?
Any questions?
No, David S. Pumpkins. I do have one more.
David S. Pumpkins. Would you say, well, no, I don't want to give it away. You asked me the question.
I'm trying to think what would have been on the Game Boy Advance in 2003 that was Mario with a Mario title. That seems like that would be too late for one thing I'm thinking of. I still have a third question. Is it side-scrolling?
It is a...
Or is it top
okay,
down?
Okay, I'll answer it this way. It's
what camera
sort of,
what camera perspective is it? How's
it's
that?
So okay, there's multiple, but the two main ones are a top when you're exploring around, it's kind of top down three quarter. And when you are fighting or when you're in combat, it is side view, side scrolling
okay.
view. That's your third question, by the way.
That is, that's it. I got it. Okay, so it's gonna be Mario takes Manhattan. I don't know.
Let's see. That is exactly correct. No, that is wrong. The answer
is... What is it? You're going to be so mad when you tell me. Go ahead.
It is Mario and Luigi's Superstar Saga.
Son of a... I don't remember. I remember that one. I never played it. I knew it had to be one of those ones I just never got to.
One of the best games Nintendo ever made, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm aware of it, but I never played it. So, dadgummit.
It's a good one, dude. You should play it.
Yeah, I mean, that was such an easy... That was definitely... It's one of those clips that you give me that's so easy to get started, but it's hard to master,
It's
right?
hard to master. Easy to start, hard to master. Exactly. Yeah. I like the way you've said that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to play yours now. I see that we have a date, at least. What else should I know here?
Yeah, I actually gave you an actual extra tip, just because I'm super nice. It's 1990. It's still on the NES... so it's still the original NES, and it's developed by Sunsoft, not published.
13 years before the game I picked. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Now that's
a big deal.
Retro.
That's a big deal. All right, let's play it and see what we got.
Developed and published by Sunsoft.
Sunsoft. Okay. That's important. I need to know that. Side scrolling?
It is, yes. Okay. Side scrolling NES by Sunsoft.
Oh my gosh, this is really familiar.
Well, actually, I'll take it. Okay, so when it starts off as side scrolling and then it kind of turns, it's kind of like a three quarters top down. So, yeah.
Okay, so there's some of both there.
Yeah. But mostly the three quarters top down.
Is it based on a film, TV show, or otherwise an IP outside of video games?
Yes.
One more question.
Should I tell you which one of those ones you said that it is?
Yeah, tell me which one of those.
Okay, it's based on a film.
Oh,
IP property.
Is this is this the Addams Family?
No.
Damn it.
Is that your third question?
That was my third question. So I get a final guess here. Is this Casper the Friendly Ghost?
No, that's a really cool guess though.
Okay, because it sounds haunted to me. You know?
It's kind of but you're right, it is kind of got that little horror vibe to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is Gremlins 2, the new
batch. Oh, shit! I actually had this game on the Nintendo Entertainment System, damn it.
The NES, Nintendo Entertainment System. And it's got some amazing music, in my opinion.
The music's great, especially for that era, dude. It's not bad at all. Some good chip tune.
You get to run
business.
Around as a little Mogwai.
Yeah, getting wet.
grabbing. No, you don't want to do that. Getting clippy. And
That's how you do.
Try not to eat eggs after midnight, you know.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
That whole piece of business. Well, that's great. Yeah. Nice pick. We're going to do this again next week. It's always fun, even when we lose. I like it. Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Time to, oh, is that emails? Yeah, that's emails and text. I got an email this week from someone who sent an email to playretroshow@gmail.com. This is Aaron from Southern Utah.
Oh, hi, Aaron.
My home state.
Yeah.
He says, Scott and Brian, I wanted to share my latest Facebook marketplace find. The Karate Champ arcade game from 1984. And all of its original parts, including a heavy CRT monitor and some nostalgic screen burn-in.
Wow.
Karate Champ is often considered the grandfather of fighting games and was the top grossing arcade machine in the U.S. in 1985. I'm stoked to own a part of history and to learn how to tinker with old technology. If either of you played Karate Champ, it would be fun to hear a classic fighting genre episode from you guys as well. Thanks for all the fun shows. Aaron, Southern Utah. Yes, I played Karate Champ a lot.
Yes, me too. And I am so jealous of that find. And I'm curious, how'd you get it home? That thing is massive.
Yeah. What'd you pay?
What'd you pay? We want to know. We want to know the deets.
Yeah. Give us some details. How much money was this freaking thing? I'm guessing a couple $100 probably.
Probably.
If I had to guess.
Karate Champ. That's a great game. Like we've talked a little bit about Karate Champ as part of other past episodes, but seeing something specifically, like they said, a fighting game, classic fighting game genre episode kind of thing would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Like wasn't that. Karate yeah. Champ was one hit kill, right? Or one hit down. How did it work?
Let me try to remember. No, I think is it the three? I think you have to do this. I have to like regular matches.
You had matches, but once you got contact and didn't block.
Yeah,
properly,
yeah. You had one.
Down.
It was like karate. Once you made the contact, it's like point.
Yeah.
Red point.
Point.
White point. Point.
Oh, and it had this like Ron Jeremy looking guy running the match in the background back then. It looks like he's smothering Mickey Mouse with his butt.
It's hilarious. I never thought of that, but that's fantastic.
That's the way my brain works.
Do the crane kick.
That's great. Very cool cat or find there, Aaron.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Nice.
I just drove through your neck of the woods. Hope you're doing well down there. If you want to send us an email.
There was an arcade game machine out there called the Karate Champ. I would have picked it up.
Hell yeah, you would have.
Yeah.
That's what you do. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. You can also text us or voicemail us at 801-471-0462. We're going to talk about next week's discussion, which will be Jurassic Park and all the 90s video games. Because that game, that movie's 30 freaking years old.
30 years old this year, my friend. Yep. And imagine the first ones of these were on the NES and they made it to the Genesis. Can you imagine trying to present Jurassic Park, the movie, on an 8-16-bit system?
Mm-hmm.
It seems foolish.
You know what else seems crazy?
What's that?
Just doing the math here. This is, let's see, 81, so that would have been 12 years between E.T.
Yes.
And Jurassic Park. 30 years between Jurassic Park and now.
Yeah. It is amazing how fast video, we kind of forget this, but in the retro years of video gaming, the leaps for consoles were phenomenal. I mean, now it's kind of like, I went from my PS4 Pro to my PS5. Well, that's a slight upgrade.
I just remember Spielberg years, that felt like a long time between E.T. and Jurassic Park, and now it's nothing. It's nothing.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
Oh, my gosh, time. Oh,
you're talking about movies.
Yeah, what even is? Oh, same thing. Yeah, same deal. Like, what even is video? What are we? We don't even know.
What is this existence?
Yeah, we don't even know.
Give me the blue pill. I want to go back in.
Let's go back in. Let's taste that steak and know that it's fake.
Is it a blue pill or red pill? I always forget.
I don't know which pill it is. Which one do you take?
The wrong
which one
pill.
Do you take to go in and learn more about the Matrix?
What I'm like, you got to go over that again. Morpheus, I wasn't really listening.
Also,
which one was it again?
If a few less dicks would use that as the basis for their stupid ideology, that'd be nice, too. That would be nice, too. People use the Matrix in shitty ways. Anyway, there's that. We're going to do that next week. Jurassic Park in the 90s. Check it out. We'll be back for that. In the meantime, I would like to thank a brand new patron. John Nelson joined us.
John Nelson.
That's really nice, man.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for being a part of Play Retro.
John's going to get some patron supporting content. Last week I recorded an extra episode of Frogger.
Yeah.
And for that, and I'm going to do some Amber Nick RG35XX this week. Yes.
Can't believe I ordered that today.
I believe it. Believe it.
I'm going to play it.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm going to love it.
Because, like I said, I've already been playing like quick rounds of stuff that I would never, because sometimes I'm like, I want to get my Steam Deck out, but I'm like, it's just, I love it.
But it's over there, and you know, you don't want
to. And it doesn't like it. It takes a little while for it to boot up. This thing's like, boom, here's your game. Play it.
Go. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited. And when I get it and I get lost and confused about how Yuri tells me to hack
call
it,
me.
I'll let you know. I'll call you.
Call me.
No commercials ever. Pre-show content every week. Monthly benefits and other cool stuff. If you just get in there and sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. Play Retro Show is over on our website, frogpants.com/playretro. And you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. I feel like I'm missing something. I don't know why. What am I missing that I feel like I'm missing? I don't know what I'm missing.
You usually say, Brian, what, you got any final words?
Do you have any final words? What are your final words, Brian?
They got Rayman on this thing. Hot damn.
Holy
shit. This guy's got no arms or legs.
He sucks. He's the worst.
Metal plug.
Bye, everybody.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Snake, answer me!